Our scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, often called the evangelist of the Old Testament, chapter 42, verses 1 through 3, and the Lord is here describing his Messiah. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth, and we pray that you would now increase our faith through them. Amen. It's a large agricultural festival that I think is still going, that started many years ago when I was in high school, called Farm Fest. And my mom, back when I was probably about a freshman in college, my mom decided to sign up to work at a pro-life booth to talk to people about the subject of abortion. And one day I remember she came home, and at the supper table, she'd been working out there that day, that she told the story of a young woman who had come to speak with her. And this lady had come up and started a conversation and then very timidly admitted to my mother that she had had an abortion and that she felt so guilty about it now and felt so bad about it. And she began to cry as she was talking to my mother. And my mom asked her a little bit about her background. Turned out that she had been raised in the Christian faith as a young girl, but now had stopped going to church and was no longer going to church. And my mom asked her why. And the reason, she said, was that she just felt so bad about her life. She'd apparently been involved in prostitution and drug abuse and a number of other things. And she just felt so horrible and guilty about her life that she just didn't feel she belonged in church. Sometimes our faith can be so bruised and so beaten down and so weak that we may wonder if it's even there. Isaiah, in the text before us, gives us some very simple and yet very compelling pictures, vivid imagery, you might say, about what faith can be like sometimes. He says, it's like a reed that's been trampled. If you've ever seen a large reed that's been crushed down in someone's path and is all bent over, you're expecting it maybe to start turning brown pretty soon. Or maybe you see a smoldering wick, like on a candle or possibly on a lamp, that is so far gone and so far down, you can't even see the burning embers anymore. All you see is a tiny little wisp of smoke coming off of it. Those are the pictures that Isaiah uses about how faith can sometimes be in us and in our hearts. And when we consider our own weaknesses and our lack of sanctification in our lives, when we think about certain sins that just seem to nag at us our whole life, we just keep falling back into them. We just can't seem to ever get over them. And they just stick to us, like Luther said, mud on a tractor wheel. And how deeply sometimes we fall. Things that would just shock people if they ever knew about us. And sometimes when we look at things like that down inside of ourselves and we wonder, do I really belong in the house of God? Our faith sometimes can be so inept and our sanctification so lacking that sometimes we feel like it may not even be there. And it seems to me, just as having served as a pastor for many years in different churches and now here on the college campus, it seems to me that those thoughts and that type of thinking, that fear about whether you have faith or not, seems to get magnified when you are in your college years. Partly because we're kind of in a life of freedom now, and we've got a lot of temptations around us. It's easy to, when mom and dad aren't around like they were when we were little kids, to make sure we're going to church and things. And it's very easy for us during those years to start falling away and maybe even wonder if we really have faith anymore. And we might conclude, do I really belong in God's house? The text in front of us, though, if you look at it closely, allows us to sort of peer into the heart of God, to look down inside of the heart of God as to how he wants to deal with us. And he's describing for us his Messiah, the promised Savior that would be coming into the world. This is written 700 or more years before the time of Christ. He's describing the work of Christ coming into the world and what his mission will be like, what his heart will be like toward the people that he's going to care for. And it's interesting that he doesn't describe him as some obnoxious tyrant that's going to be holding the law over people's heads and yelling at people in the streets. No, instead he says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax, a smoldering little wick, he will not quench. He won't snuff it out. And boy, do we ever see that to be true when you think of the ministry of Jesus, when we consider many of the accounts and stories in the ministry of Christ. We think about the woman caught in adultery, about to be stoned to death in front of him, and Jesus comes down so delicately and tenderly to her and deals with her and pronounces her sins forgiven. We think about the thief on the cross and how here in his dying moments with all of his guilt and shame before the world and how tenderly Christ deals with him and promises him paradise. The woman who comes into the meal when Jesus is eating with the Pharisees and starts crying at Jesus' feet and just sobbing with joy for his grace. We think about how gently he deals with her. It's interesting that we as Christians in the New Testament, especially by St. Paul, are encouraged to develop tenderheartedness and gentleness. And one of the reasons is because those very characteristics are so picturesque of Christ. That's exactly how our Lord is toward the fallen sinner. You know, the faith that's in your heart as a Christian is God's creation. It's his sculpture. It's his painting. He's the one that has put that there. And so God is not going to work against his own creation. When he comes to deal with you in whatever condition you're in, he is not going to try to destroy his own painting. He's not going to try to destroy his own sculpture. That artwork of faith that he himself has placed in your heart, he will want to restore it and to gently bring it back to a stronger position. If you were to come upon a bad car accident and suddenly a couple of ambulances show up and there are a variety of people that are hurt in that accident, if you watch the medics, they very quickly try to go around and assess who are the individuals that need our attention first and the most. The more desperate the medical, the more desperate the health condition is of someone, the faster they will get to them, the more aggressively they will get to them. And that's how it is in God's kingdom of grace. The more desperate your condition is, the more vile your sin and the deeper you have fallen and the weaker your faith, the faster God wants to get to you with his grace and to help and restore you. Martin Luther said this, God's kingdom is not ordered in such a way that only strong and healthy people are in it, for such things belong to this life. But rather, Christ is established for this, that he receives and helps those who are spiritually weak. Imagine if someone blindfolded you today and took you somewhere in Mankato and dropped you into an office and then had you take off the blindfold and you looked around and you realized that you're in a doctor's office. See posters on the wall and brochures that are there and some machinery that could be used for taking your blood pressure, and you'd see the cotton swabs and all the different things, the examination table. It would be very quickly obvious to you within seconds that this room is designed for sick people, okay? If someone took you and blindfolded you and brought you into a sanctuary like this, into a local congregation, let's say, and took off the blindfold and you started to look around, what would you think this, for whom would you think this has been designed? It's been designed for weak, sinful people. That's why God's grace has to be preached from here every day in our chapel. That's why the altar of our Lord is a reminder of his sacrificial death for us and how he had to lay his body before God on the coals of hell so you and I would never know how bad that is, so we could have heaven. That's why the life of Christ is displayed before us. That's why his body and blood are brought to us in the Lord's Supper. That's why the baptismal font stands there to remind us of God's wonderful grace. This room has been designed for weak, sinful, struggling, dying people. And that's what Christianity is all about, to restore us back into God's kingdom so that someday we can live in his presence forevermore. I'm going to say something just to the seminary students who are here as we conclude today. And you can listen to. There will not be a time in your ministry when you're a pastor when when you feel more like Christ than when someone comes into your office to confess to you one of their sins and is crushed by their guilt. And you get the wonderful opportunity and the privilege on behalf of Christ to announce God's grace to them. That's what Christianity is designed for the weak, smoldering wicks that God does not want to snuff out. Amen.